pick up on the lesson that we were on. We have been looking at the attitude of gratitude, and last week we spent some time examining how can we develop a spirit of thanksgiving, because indeed we have been encouraged to, in everything, give thanks. And we have been shown in Scripture that this is the will of God in Christ. And so the entire Godhead is in on this encouragement to give thanks in everything, even in the midst of trials and stress and distress. We need to have this spirit of thanksgiving. Last week we spent some time examining, you know, some of the ways that we can develop this spirit of thanksgiving. And we highlighted that one of the key things is not to forget the benefits of God. And so we spent some time looking at Psalm 103 and highlighted some of the benefits that are associated with serving God and the extent to which we can remember and not forget His benefits will encourage and foster a spirit of thanksgiving. We also, and this is a point we were on at the close, we examined that it is important for us to express gratitude. You know, and one of the passages we looked at was Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. And it highlights that the redeemed of the Lord should say so. But the context of that is that we should give thanks, for God Almighty is good. He has a mercy that endures forever. And so if we recognize that God is good, that He is merciful, that He is gracious, then as the redeemed of the Lord, we should say so. And we want to continue this sojourn in terms of this expression of gratitude. But the lesson today, if we, you know, I guess we could have called this part two or part three, you know, but we could probably best describe this lesson today as beyond say. Beyond say. You know, and when I thought of that title, you know, I said, I hope when I say it, nobody thinks that I'm talking about the singer Beyoncé. All right? But beyond say. And the idea here is that while we should foster a spirit of thanksgiving where we say so, we ought to also recognize that we have to demonstrate thanksgiving in what we do, in what we practice, in how we give. And so that's where we want to go today in the lesson. But let us still stick with the second point that we are on. So we have looked at developing a spirit of thanksgiving. Let us not forget. That's one. Two, let us express that gratitude. Let us say so. And let us pick up now at Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 1. Still on this idea that we need to express gratitude, and we can't overemphasize this, because God, as we saw last week, as we saw the interaction with Jesus and the lepers, that God, Christ, demands our expression of gratitude, our expression of thanksgiving. In Psalm 189, if we pick up at verse 1, it says,
"Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
For he is good.
For he is good.
Because his mercy.
His mercy endures forever." And it may seem that we are talking about the same thing, because isn't that what we heard in Psalm 107 last week, where it is saying that we ought to give thanks, and then the reason given is that our God, our Lord, he is good and he's merciful. His mercies endure forever. Continue reading.
"Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever."
So again, his mercy endures forever. And this is a message that keeps ringing right through Scripture, that God is good, that God is merciful. And if you will allow me to take on an analysis of an entire psalm. I said, "But Brother Webb, you don't have a whole lot of time. You're going to talk about an entire psalm?" Well, this middle chapter, according to some other research, I did not my personal research, this middle chapter in the book of books, the Bible, Psalm 117. You know, I want us to read that entire psalm. It's not so long, right? Yes, it is the shortest chapter in the Bible, but it's the middle chapter according to studies. And it says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people." And if we analyze this verse, then it is saying, all ye nations, praise the Lord. And you know, we have seen the abuse of hallelujah. But this is exactly what hallelujah means. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And it says, all ye nations, praise him. Hallelujah, all ye nations. Hallelujah. And going back, and I have not finished the analysis of Psalm 117. We see in Psalm 118, in verse 2, it says, Let Israel now say.
That his mercy.
Stop. Let Israel now say. And I want to put it to us, brethren, that in respect to giving of thanks, in respect to thanksgiving, that as a nation, we need to praise the Lord. As a nation, we need to be giving thanks. As a nation, we need to recognize that we have a God who is looking out for us. And so, back at 117, it says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations." So let us recognize that we need to pray, and we need to pray as a nation for God's goodness. And what a better, no better time than now, because we are full of crisis. The pandemic, you know, the whole world needs to be prayed for. You know, we struggle with crime and violence. We need to, as a nation, pray. But look again at verse 2 of Psalm 18. "Let Israel now say," and let me pause and make sure that you are with me. We are talking about the fact that to develop a spirit of thanksgiving, we need to get into the habit of expressing gratitude. And so the psalm writer It's saying here, let Israel, a nation, say. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. So as a nation, Israel was encouraged to say, to express gratitude. And I'm saying to us, let us recognize that as a nation, this needs to be our way of life. Then continue reading.
Let the house of Aaron now say.
Let the house of Aaron
now say.
Now say. Where are you, Brother Webb? Well, as a country, as a nation, God has an expectation that we practice gratitude. But even though God is saying this to a nation, even though he said this of Israel, and even though he's saying this to Jamaica, he is saying that I'm not just seeing that a nation needs to be exercising gratitude, but he's also saying that as a house. So we need to take the spirit of gratitude into our own house. Into our homes, we need to engender a spirit of gratitude. You know, I was speaking to a brother recently, and he was saying that he feels thankful. You know, things are not perfect, but he can associate what his life is now because of the goodness and the graciousness of Almighty God. And he said that I have taken steps to let my entire family recognize that what we have now is as a result of God's graciousness. It is not so much because what I have done, but God has been good and gracious to us. So we need to take the spirit of thankfulness, not as only as a country, but into our own homes. So let us practice, let us develop the spirit to say, I am grateful. To say, I am thankful. To say, God is truly merciful and gracious towards us. Read on, brother. So we see, we see that nation. We see that the house. Let's continue now.
Let them know that fear the Lord.
Say. Let them know that fear the Lord.
Say.
Say. Get it? So it is not just the nation. It is not just our home. But you as an individual in the home, let us say we give thanks. Let us say that God is gracious and merciful. Let us practice this because indeed he is a gracious God to us. So God sees the individual and he says, let them that fear the Lord say. And you know, the wise man in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And so the extent to which we fear God, we will be wise. You know, in verse 4, you know, it says, let them know that fear the Lord, say so, or say that he's merciful and that his mercy endures forever. Then it says, I, just in case you get lost in the them. You understand? Because sometimes we get lost in the crowd. You know, so the whole nation, then we down to the house, and it said them. But them still give us a little plurality. But it's saying now, I call upon the Lord. So the extent to which I recognize that God is merciful, then I should call upon him. But let us recognize too, you know, jump to verse 8 for me, because we just said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Now, when we are wise, those of us who fear God, the individual, he will come in his wisdom to recognize that, read.
It is better to trust in the Lord.
It is better.
To trust?
It is better. This is wise. This is wisdom. This is prudence. It is better
to trust?
To trust in the Lord
than
to put confidence
in man.
In man. This is something that we should say praise the Lord for. This is something that we need to say hallelujah. This is something we need to say amen. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So those of us who fear God, we need to come and say thanks. We need to recognize that he has an enduring mercy. And we, in exercise of wisdom, come to the position that it is better. It's not that we should not trust anything that man says. But when it comes to God and man, it is better to trust in God than put confidence in man. You know, the confidence in man will cause us to say that there are many churches when God has says, my church. The confidence of man will cause us to say, go to the church of your choice when God says, I have built but one church. It is the confidence that we place in man why we will say, albeit that God in his wisdom says that we should sing, we should give the fruits of our lips in singing, that we will place our confidence in man and we'll say pluck, we'll say beat, we'll say blow. The confidence in man can put us in trouble. The confidence in man will cause many to lose their way because instead of being immersed in water for the remission of sins, then if we place our trust in man, then they will sprinkle us with water. They'll pour water on our heads. They'll tell us that at some point in time, you can do a confirmation. Yes. It is confidence in man that will tell us and allow us to say that to please God, all I need to do is believe. You know, water don't save anybody. Baptism doesn't save anybody. Confidence in man. But it is better to put our trust in the Lord than to put our confidence in man. We could go on and on. You know, persons will say, well, if you don't speak in gibberish, what, unknown tongue. Oh, Brother Morrison said, you know, who stole my Honda and killed my mosquito? If we don't speak in tongues in some gibberish and understandable fashion, then we are not children of God. When God tells us clearly that when we obey him, when we hear, believe, repent, confess, you know, when we are immersed, you know, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when we do this, we get the Holy Spirit as a gift. We don't get gibberish. And the extent to which we speak in tongues, then today it is because we put out effort to learn other languages. Let us put our trust in God, in the Lord, our confidence in him and not in man. The fear of the Lord is indeed the beginning of wisdom. You know, read verse 8 as well, because verse 9 as well.
It is better to trust in the Lord.
To trust in the Lord
than to put
confidence
in princes.
In princes. And so I ask, what is your prince? What is it that you would put before the Almighty God, or you would give a higher ranking than the Almighty God? What's your prince? Is it wealth? Will you do everything for health? Is it your job? Do not put your desire to have the right association beyond and above what the Almighty God wants of you. You know, there are many places that you can do good. You know, the one is, there are many service organizations. But we have to be careful that in our pursuit of these associations, that we don't start seeing them as religious replacement. And so because I have a Kiwanis session, then I cannot come to church. And so the good that I do in these, then I don't see the need anymore to please the Almighty God. Because I want to be in a particular circle, then I do not serve the Almighty God. I don't trust God to take care of me, because I know that if I knock heads with certain in society, you know, then I might be in the right position. But it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Yes, associations are good. We all influence one another. And so to the extent that we can associate, but we have that influence over them, and we need to see it like that. We are all influencing one another. But the extent to which we have that influence, when we are associating with persons, we should, in the back of our minds, and somebody might say, well, not in the back, but at the forefront of your minds, saying, how can I influence these persons to Jesus Christ? So what are we saying? Let them know that fear the Lord say. Yeah, that's where we were, verse 4. Let them know that fear the Lord say that he is merciful. That his mercy endures forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the psalm writer made it clear, among the things that are encompassed in this wisdom is this learning to have a better trust in the Lord. But not only is it that we should express gratitude, not only is it that we should not forget his benefits, but I want to move into the real part of the message. What I really want to get to is that beyond say, beyond what we say and echo, we need to develop a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of gratitude by what we practice, by what we give, by what we offer to the Almighty God. You know, on this note, you know, about saying, you know, if we read Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, you know, it tells us about our conversation. And I don't want to undervalue our saying so, because Scripture says that we should say thanks. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says,
Let your conversation
be without covetousness. So let your conversation be without lust, you know, this greed for money. And you know, I purposefully went to this passage because when we speak of conversation, in our use of language today, then it is indeed easy for us to say, when we talk about conversation, to be talking about what we say. But this conversation that we see in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 is not so much talking about what we say, but it's really talking about our life. It is really talking about our way of life. I don't know if any of the brothers have another translation handy. You know, but the King James Version, while it uses "let your conversation," it is better rendered "let your way of life." Have another version there? Okay, I have the NIV. It says, "Keep your lives." How did the King James say it again?
Let your conversation.
Let your conversation. And what we are saying is that when we talk about your conversation, it is not so much what you are saying, but it is how you are living. The NIV says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because the Lord said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so what we are moving into is that beyond say, beyond what we say in thanksgiving, it is how is your conduct? What is your practice in thanksgiving? What is it that we render? What is it that we give to Almighty God? So it says, keep your lives free. Let your conversation, let your way of life be without covetousness. Let it not be centered around wanting money. Let us be content with what we have. And this message rings true. You know, in this whole lesson, we have been referencing a lot the psalm. Now, we will continue to look at the psalm. In fact, in Psalm 116, you know, the passage that was read earlier, the writer joins in this sentiment. Yes, he's saying, if you want to engender, if you want to create and you want to foster a spirit of thanksgiving, then don't forget. If you want to engender a spirit of thanksgiving, then learn to express. But beyond not forgetting, beyond expressing, we also need to practice. And so Psalm 116, picking up at verse 12, it says,
what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?
You notice how he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? And I will see this benefits thing coming again. But can we step back a little? Just allow me to step back just a little. Because since the writer here talks about benefits again, we want to remember some of his benefits. Because when we had looked at Psalm 103, it spoke about God forgiving our iniquities, healing our diseases. But here we are seeing in Psalm 116 that it is saying, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? And so we need to step back a little and look at the context of Psalm 116. Because it starts off by saying in verse 1, I
love the Lord.
Love the Lord. Yeah? I love the Lord. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. You know, I want to come back later if time permits me about I love the Lord. Because, you know, and just in case I don't get back to it, let me just make a statement so it can stand. If you love God, then you will keep his commandments. We can't talk about we love God and then we just don't do anything about it. If we love God, then we will do. If we love God, it will call for action. But let's jump down to verse 3, because I'm just giving a quick context of Psalm 116.
The sorrows of death compass.
The sorrows of death
compass me.
Remember why we went back and looked at the context? Because, again, this psalm writer says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? And so we're looking now at the context, and the context is going to point to us as to some of the benefits that we have from the Almighty God. Because sometimes we are in situation, brethren. Sometimes things are at us. The sorrows of death compass me. How many of us have come close to death? Loved ones have passed. And the sorrow of death just sort of overwhelms us. Yes. Sometimes we are in that space, and God is there for us, giving us strength, empowering us, thus demonstrating his mercy and his graciousness to us, even in the midst of death and the sorrow associated with it. Read on. Sorrows of death compass me.
And the pains of hell.
The pains of hell got the hold upon me. You know, probably I'm not there yet. But sometimes you're going through challenges, health challenges, and you're in some pain. Just to do a simple thing, it's with much groaning. And you just have to ask God, just help me. You can't even come out of bed in ease. You lie down in the middle of your sleep, that's a simple thing as turning, and some pain whap you. And I'm standing up right here, so you know, and realize that even though I have an inkling of this, that there are some of you looking at me that says, Brother Webb, you don't even know what you're talking about yet. Because I've been there. And I hear somebody, you know. Not that I've been there, me there. Because this is my reality right now. And so the throngs of pain has sometimes hit us. And I found what?
Trouble.
I found trouble.
And sorrow.
And sorrow. So this life is full of challenges. Yes, it is. We're not going to stand up here and give you the idea that, hey, you know, when you become a Christian, things just all smooth. There are challenges. You know, and in the thing about trouble is that I found trouble. But, you know, sometimes it's trouble finding us. You know, yes, you're just being there as a nice neighbor, as a nice co-worker, as a nice community person, and trouble just find you. You know, we're not even talking about the situation where you find trouble. You know, because sometimes we go find trouble, you know. You know, or the tongue twister thing go again. If you're trouble your back. Eh? Yeah, man. All right, let me slow it down. If you trouble. Trouble will trouble you back. And so sometimes as Christians, you know, as persons, as God-fearing as we are, we test the boundary. You know, if I do this, will I get away with it? You know, I know it's troubling, you know, but I'm not going near it. You know, I'm going to associate myself with it. But if, you know, it's not a scripture, so don't go look for it in scripture and say, where is that in the scripture? But I think there's truth in it. If you trouble will trouble you back. What is that trouble? We can't pick up anything. If you take up gambling will trouble you back. Because you might get a little winnings. But that might just be an encouragement for you to put bigger money. And then you lose everything. So persons will tell you how they gain, you know, how much money in gambling, but you check them back later, they lose more, and people give up, you know, good ways of earning because they find scamming ways to make money. But if you trouble, trouble will trouble you back. But anyway, that's a side issue. All right, let me come back on track. But the point still remains that we, as we sojourn life, we face many distresses. I found trouble and sorrow. In verse 10 it says, I believe therefore that I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. So we face all kind of troubles. But then the writer now proceeds back to where we started, Bradley. And we want to just thank the brothers for helping with the preaching. You know, you're doing a good thing when you help in sharing the word of God. So you're now at verse 12.
What shall I render unto the Lord?
What shall I render unto the Lord? You see, here's the context. I have been afflicted. I have had troubles. I feel pain and anguish. All kind of things hit me. And then he recognizes, as he had said at the start, that God is a gracious God. And no doubt this writer would be saying so. But he recognized that beyond say so, he asked a very potent question. I want to express gratitude. He said, I have not forgotten God's benefits. I have remembered the benefits of God. I remember that he took me out of trouble and pain and sorrow. Yes, I remember that. Yes, I am saying so. But then he reflects inward and he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefit? What? So beyond say, we are saying what to do. Beyond what we say, we need to render. Beyond saying, we need to practice. Beyond saying, we need to give. Beyond saying, we need to do. Yes. What shall I render? What shall I give? And I put to us, brethren, that if we are thankful to the Almighty God, we need to go beyond say so. We need to go to do so. Beyond say, we need to render. We need to give unto the Lord. Give him our time. Give of him our talent. Of our money, we should give him. What is our influence? Let's give him. What is it that we have in us? Do we have strength? Then let us give to the Almighty God. Are we influential to persons around us? Then we should give that influence to the Almighty God. Yes, beyond say, let us render. Let us give unto the Lord. You know, there's a song that says, I will serve you. Yes. If we love God, then keep his commandment. Then it says, I will serve you because I love you. So sometimes we are just comfortable to say, I love God. Oh, God is merciful. God is gracious. But let us take it a step further. Let us not be satisfied with just what we say. What we say is important. But let us also do. Let us also render. Let us also give. You know, the passage didn't stop there. It says, what shall I render? It's a question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? You see the individual thing again? Towards me. I will take the cup of salvation. And I'm saying, if we recognize that God is a gracious God, if we recognize that God is a merciful God, let us say so. But if we believe that he is gracious and merciful, let us take it further. Let us take the cup of salvation. If you are in the hearing of my voice and you are thankful to the merciful nature of God, You recognize that he has been good. And I haven't even told you the most sweetest of things. Most and sweetest of things. The most profoundest. Most and test. The most wonderfulest. Most and wonderfulest. Of things that God has done for us is giving his son Jesus Christ for your sins, because that is the greatest need that we have. But if you recognize that God is a God of love to the point that he gave his only son, then you can't just stop at what a wonderful God. It is good that you recognize that he's a wonderful God. But you need to take the cup of salvation. You know, there are some persons, Acts chapter 2, verse 37, there are some persons who are in a similar predicament. They recognize that their caused Christ to be killed. The promised Messiah that they were looking forward to came and he died to save them. And they were in a predicament. You're there? Read verse 37 of Acts. This was the first time the gospel was being taught. So you are hearing the gospel, but these persons were hearing it for the very first time. They were the first set of persons hearing the gospel.
No.
And when they heard it, they said?
They were pricked in their...
No, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard that Jesus Christ died for their sin. They are hearing the same thing I just told you, that God gave you the most wonderfulest of gift. He gave you the most preciousnessest of gifts. Yes. His son Jesus Christ died for your sins and for my sins. They heard this. And now when they heard this, what they did?
They were pricked.
They were sorrowful. It got to them. It touched them. Yes.
In their heart, yes. And said,
you know,
Peter,
it stimulated not just their emotion, because when it talks about the heart, it stimulated their minds. They came to a recognition that this is a serious matter. They came to this realization. And so they were pricked in their hearts.
And said unto Peter.
And they said, you say something. And, you know, even in that, they demonstrated that they believed, having heard. And, you know, they started to question. They started to speak up. You know, but their say came in the form of a question, just as the psalmist here in Psalm 16, what shall I render? What did they ask? What?
What shall we do?
What shall we do? You see what I'm seeing here? Beyond say, they recognize that there is something that they need to do. You know, we are told in the psalm that when he asked that question, he came to the position, I will take the cup of salvation. These persons were asking a similar question. What shall we do to be saved? What shall we do to demonstrate my gratitude for what he has done for us? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so, what shall I do was the question. And then the answer came.
Then Peter said unto
him. Peter now answers, recognizing that he had done well in teaching the gospel. Recognizing from their very question and the way when it talks about they were pricked in their heart, that they truly believed. Yes. And so he picked up and he says, what?
Repent.
Repent. And that is turn. This is something you must do as part of taking the cup of salvation. Then, brethren, friends, We need to make a change. We can't say that we are thankful for what God has done for us, and then we continue the same way. Beyond say, we must do. We need to repent. We need to make a turn, a change from wrong to right, from away from self to God. That's what we need to do, brethren. Yes, time is on me. But beyond just repenting, did he stop there?
Repent.
Repent, he says.
And be baptized.
And be baptized.
Every one of you.
Every one of you need to do this. Everyone who wants to demonstrate thankfulness for what God has done to save us needs to repent and be baptized. Every one of you, every one of us, if we are going to take that cup of salvation, then we, brethren, all of us need to get busy telling persons how to take that cup of salvation. We need to be evangelistic. Brethren, friends, I talk to you now. If you have not taken that cup of salvation, what is that? Jesus Christ has given his blood, shed his blood. But beyond blood, he has given his life. His life was drained out of him to pay for sin that we could not pay for ourselves. Will you take that cup of salvation? You have to now drink that cup. Take that cup. Beyond say. And you know, the say is important because a part of the steps of salvation is that we must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. But beyond just saying so, we need to act. We need to repent. We need to be baptized. And we will get the Holy Spirit as a gift to guide us through our Christian life. Yes. But we need to take that cup of salvation. Beyond say, we must do. Beyond say, we must do. I'm going to stop the lesson right here. I think I've said enough for us to recognize that God has an expectation of us. That God has an expectation that we are thankful, that we are grateful, and that we can engender the spirit of thanksgiving by not forgetting his benefits. By us expressing our gratitude. But beyond what we say, we must also do. We must practice, we must give, we must render. We are going to ask the song leader to come with a song of encouragement. And you can be obedient even today.